sometimes at doing church in the lives of people that serve the Lord. And we wonder, is it really like that? Is that really how they go about their lives? Do they believe in what the Lord has said? Amen? You know, yesterday we had our first brunch for our pastors, elders, and deacons at my home. Miss Ruth Ann, of course, did a marvelous job. I was supposed to do it all myself. We know how that went. But we had a wonderful, wonderful dinner. I cooked omelets out on my patio, and I'm not quite sure how Brother Ronell stays alive, because I've never made a one-egg omelet in my life. And I actually said to him, "You call yourself a Baptist, you know?" But we had a wonderful time. But this, during this service, we talk about that. You know, we are all flawed human beings. Amen. And so today's message is, as we're talking about radically being on mission, today's message is titled Pretense. In other words, pretense, or the theological equivalent of that, hypocrites. But I didn't think that was a wonderful title to my message. And so I'm reminded of the story of a lady that approached a pastor and said, "You know, I would come to church, but there's nothing but hypocrites over there." And the pastor says, "Well, that's quite okay. Please come. We always have room for one more." And all God's people said, "Amen." Listen, Living Hope Baptist Church, no perfect people allowed. Amen? Amen. But the one testimony I did want to share with you this morning was the testimony from the third daughter of the Reverend Billy Graham. And, you know, we think of Billy Graham. I mean, this is Billy Graham. Preached all over the world. Amen. Obviously, his family's got it all together. But no, the third daughter had issues in her life. And she went through a failed marriage. In spite of all of the counseling and everything that Mr. and Mrs. Graham, Mom and Dad Graham could give. And then she fell right back into another relationship with a gentleman. And Billy Graham, her father, said, "Please, sweetheart, don't do this. This is not right. You're jumping right into this." And her mother counseled. But she was rebellious. And she didn't even want to listen. She didn't want to wait a day, not an hour. She says, "No, no, no, no. I prayed about this." And within one day of marriage, she knew she had made a terrible, terrible mistake. And she didn't know what to do. And so now she's on her second failed marriage. And, you know, as she said in her testimony, "I had let down my father. I had let down my mother." She goes, "I'd let down the Lord." She goes, "But how many of you can say, I've let down Billy Graham?" You know, that was her father. And so she called and she said, "Daddy, can I come home?" He said, "Of course." So she came home. They live up way up on the side of a mountain in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Smoky Mountains. And there's a winding road that goes up to that house. And the last turns right into the house by the parking lot at the house. It's a big old house, so you would have to get rung in from the bottom of the mountain. That is Billy Graham's home, after all. And so she's driving up this mountain. Great fear, trepidation in her heart. She pulled into, as she turned that last corner, there was her father standing there. And as she got out of her car, her father ran to her and put his arms around her and said, "Welcome home, sweetheart." Can you imagine how her heart felt? You know, we all have those moments when we live hypocritically, amen? And I didn't get a big amen out of that one. But today's message from the Word of God is in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 5, if you would, please find your way there. Matter of fact, if you have your Bible, whether in printed or digital format, hold your Bibles in the air. Amen. All over the sanctuary. Let's see those Bibles, everyone. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And this is a story that gets told here that is a tough story. Church, look up here for just a moment before we read. I want you to know this is going to be a difficult message, but with great grace and mercy from our Heavenly Father in it. Amen? How many of us have ever fallen short of the glory of God? Amen. Oh, hallelujah, amen. If you've ever fallen short of the glory of God, please raise your hand in the air. All right, I got everybody that time. I didn't want to have to call anybody a bunch of fibbers here. Reading from the Word of God, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who had heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later, or what us preachers like to say, a really good church service. It was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, buried by her husband. So great fear came upon all of the church, you think? And upon all who heard these things. May the Lord add His blessings upon His word. You know, I want you to make sure that you keep your Bibles open for the whole service, all the way through, praise team, this is you as well, all the way through the return of the praise team to the stage. I have never seen a time like the times we are living in. Amen? There are wars and rumors of wars. There are mass shootings in our schools. There's selfishness and divisiveness and an utter lack of morals and respect for each other. Not only that, there's a terrible lack of respect for Almighty God. You know, even the church at times can take part in this discontent. A misunderstanding of motives, a misunderstanding of roles. What is the pastor's actual role in the church? What is a ministry leader's actual role and duties in the church? We are having a directors and elders and deacons and pastors meeting this coming Thursday evening. We'll make more announcements about that later on today. But it's just to serve as a reminder what each and every person, especially in leadership's job, is within the church of God. You see, what we need, what our churches need, what our city needs, what our nation needs, is revival. A reviving of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one that is powerful enough. The only Holy Spirit is the only one that's capable enough to do that. To turn people's hearts toward God. You see, church, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convince us to give honor and glory to the Lord. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Therefore, we are here today to honor and glorify the only one who is worthy of honor and glory and praise and worship. And that is the King of glory Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the course of honoring Christ, in the course of doing church, in the course of doing ministry, we must be very wary. We must be wary of what, Pastor? We must be wary of attempting to bring honor and glory to ourselves. Because no one is worthy of that. Which brings us back to today's passage. You see, here's the deal. In the final two verses of chapter 4, as a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles open, say amen. Let's look at those final two verses of chapter 4. So we can set the stage here. Reading, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That rendering there, it says when he brought it, it means he brought all of it. So we see that a godly man named Barnabas, the son of encouragement, made a great gift to the church. Now friends, don't get nervous. Today is not a tithe message. All right? That's not the purpose of today's passage. And the point is that Barnabas did not do this to draw attention to himself. He did not do this to show off whatsoever. He did it because God had touched his heart to do that. And see, that's what we preach here. We certainly preach that we should tithe, amen? But we also preach that if the Lord lays something on your heart, then you should give in to the Holy Spirit of God. If the Lord lays it on your heart to give over and above your tithes and to give an offering, we certainly call upon you to do that. But we don't mandate that, of course. That is what the Lord has laid on your heart, just like it's what God laid on the heart of Barnabas. You know, we have folks come and visit us all the time. This is at Florida, after all, and it is winter, after all. We've had a gentleman visiting us the last couple of weeks. God bless him for being here. You've been a blessing to be amongst us. But he's going back to his church up north, and we're gonna pray for him, wish him well. Amen, church. Amen. And so, but what we do tell folks when they come to worship with Living Hope Baptist Church, say, listen, if you have a home church, your tithes and your offering goes to your home church. Okay? If something lays something over and above that to you for Living Hope Baptist, of course give. But your tithe goes to your church. And so Barnabas did not do this to show off. He did it because the Lord had laid this and touched his heart. Meanwhile, a few pews further back, Ananias and Sapphira saw how praise was given to Barnabas and thought, well, why not us? Why can't we take part in this little bit of praise that's rendered? So they sold some property, pretended that they were giving it all to the church. Verse 3 says that they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. If you look there, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? They lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, people lie about all manner of things. Amen? If you don't think so, let me just remind you. Have you ever gone to see a brand new baby? They're not all born beautiful. My daughter, our firstborn, was born beautiful. Full, pink, beautiful child. My son, when he came out, was not done. I prayed to the Lord, put him back. He was wrinkled and red and hairy, screaming, not content. He was not a content baby. You know, have you ever been there where somebody holds something like that up? You know, I would go into the room to see the babies. You know, back then, Miss Ruth Ann had cesareans, and you couldn't go in back then for that. So they put my babies in, you know, the baby place, you know, the nursery, I think they call it. Thank you, Miss Ruth Ann. And so my daughter, everybody wanted to see Angela. They come see that baby. But my son, people come, they look at this baby. Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. And they look at this baby. Oh, and I'm just standing behind them watching, you know. And they get to this baby, you know, and they get to my son. And he, woo! So has everybody ever held up a baby like that and said, isn't it beautiful? You're caught in a conundrum. Sometimes the best thing you can say is, looks just like you. And all God's people said. See, we all have those times where we take part in pretense. Amen? Now, I'm certain all the children sitting here, your mom has told you how beautiful you were when you were born. All right? But it's amazing about that. The difference here in what we're seeing in today's story is because this lie that they told was particularly vile. It was evil. It was satanic. And we're going to learn why. Friends, they were hypocrites in what they were doing. They were two-faced. And let me just remind you that the church is always hurt more by hypocrisy than persecution. I'm going to say that one more time. The church is always damaged far more by hypocrisy of its people than it ever is by persecution laid upon his people. Persecution causes a church to grow. Hypocrisy causes a church to disintegrate, to fall apart. Hypocrisy represents Satan's values. It's satanic, not God's. I have three quick points for us to go through today as we think about the dangers of pretense. Well, let's look first at the deception. Our first point today, write that in your notes, is deception. You know, sometimes make-believe or pretense can be fun. Children play make-believe all the time, amen? How many fathers here, if you have a daughter, has ever had make-believe tea? With my daughter, it was a very big deal, amen? For me, it wasn't quite that enjoyable, but I put on a good face for it. You know, because it was something my daughter wanted to do. Now, I'll admit that when I read this passage today, that I was personally challenged by it. I really was. Because I believe that we have all been guilty of spiritual pretense at some point or the other. All of us. Biblical hypocrisy, in fact. Saying things sometimes, what do I mean by this? Saying things sometimes that are easily said and not yet wondering in my heart, Lord, do I really live that? Is that how I really live? Do I really live what I say I believe about you, Lord? You see, what happened was this with Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to be loved like Barnabas, and their pride made them a sitting duck for Satan. A sitting duck for Satan. Why is that? It's their pride. It was their vanity. That will get each and every one of us if we aren't careful. So how do we battle that? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says that we are to be clothed in humility. If you live a life of humbleness, of humility, it's very difficult to be prideful in vain. Amen? Why should we be careful? Because a few verses after 1 Peter 5:5 is 1 Peter 5:8. Write this in your margin. 1 Peter 5:8, it's a very, very well-known passage. But listen quietly as I read this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, the devil is after you. He's a roaring lion. And what does he feed on? He feeds on pride. It's his favorite food. It is, after all, the thing that got him cast out of heaven. Amen? The Lord Jesus said that while the words were yet in his mouth, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In other words, Satan opened his mouth to show pride to the God in heaven. Can you imagine such a thing? Looked around and his address had changed. His address had changed. So that's what got Satan kicked out of God's heaven. And for Ananias and his wife, the root of their sin was pride. The fruit of their sin was pretense. I'm going to say that one more time in case you didn't get it. I worked on that all week and you didn't seem that impressed. For Ananias and his wife, the root of their sin was pride. And the fruit of that prideful sin was pretense. Hypocrisy. Now I want to make something very clear to you today. Are you listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
Their sin was not in refusing to give. Nor was their sin in refusing to give at all. God never commanded them to give at all. Never. In verse 4, Peter basically says, you could have given what you wanted. God didn't command you to give all of this. In other words, Ananias and Sapphira, you're not under condemnation for failing to give everything. You are under condemnation for pretending you are something that you are not. The sin of hypocrisy. Think about it, friends. When you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who was Jesus the most severe against when he was preaching? It was always against the hypocrites. Always. His worst rebukes for people that were hypocrites. And friends, hypocrisy happens when you drift away from the awareness of the holiness of God and you lose that closeness with God. You cannot be have a total awareness of Almighty God and be close to God and be a hypocrite. You simply cannot. You must ease away from the Lord. You must become less involved with the things of God and more involved with the things of the earth to drift away in that manner. May I share with you for a moment my own life? There are so many times I have to get alone with just myself and the Lord. I have to get to my office and have a session with God. And when I do that, the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, Larry, have you really given your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? More than that, Larry, have you released it all? You see, it's okay to have wonderful things. Amen? We live in America. The Lord has blessed us with great things. We live in South Florida. He's blessed us with the great weather we see out there right now. Amen? But in other words, the Lord says, Larry, have you released things to me? If I took it all, would you still love me? Larry, do you release your position as pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church? In other words, Larry, the thing that is your dream job, the thing that you never imagined that you could be blessed with, do you release that to me? Do you release your reputation to the Lord? Do you release your precious wife, your precious children, your precious grandchildren, your precious great-grandchild? Do you release them to the Lord? Larry, if God took it all away from you right this second, do you still trust the Lord? Are you okay with that? Larry, have you really, really, really released it all to the Lord? And that's what I'm asking today. Because if you have released it all to the Lord, then you have a closeness with God that will not allow you to be a hypocrite before the Lord. Amen? You know, I just love the Lord's Word. The Lord's Word cuts like a two-edged sword. But sometimes you need the scalpel in order to cut out the cancer. The cancer that's in each and every one of our lives. You know, then the thought gets deep down inside of you. You ever had the words of the Lord just get deep down in you? It just like really convict you? Say amen, just to humor me for a moment. But here's what I remember. Here's what convicts me. That God loves me so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. That's how much God loves me. Imagine that. God died for me. And you can say the same thing, friends. God died for me. So do I really trust God? Should I not trust a God that died for me Himself? The God of the heavens that came down? You know, do I really trust the Lord? You know, I pray about us getting the funds for the new location all the time. I pray about that. You know, and I say, Lord, I have to laugh. I do. I have to laugh about this. I say, Lord, send us some money to build our own place. Well, here's the deal. He's already given us the money. It just happens to be in our pockets. You know, I prayed all week about saying that. I'm so glad you took it well. Our wallets, our bank accounts. And all the time that we are praying about this, God is telling us, I already gave you everything you have with what you've given. Can you not trust me for the next step with other things that you have? Can you not trust me? Okay, now listen, he goes, I've given you this with what you've given. Now, just return a small part of what I've blessed you with. Just a small part. And watch what I can do. Watch what I can do, build, says the Lord. Friends, Ananias and Sapphira's problem was that they were pretending, and it was deception to the Lord. Next, let's look at the direction of this pretense. Look at verse 3 again. If you're there, say amen. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? What or who was the source of this sin? Why is who? Satan. Satan. Look at the passage. It was Satan. You know, Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is a liar. And when he lies, he speaks his own language. It's his language. It's what he does. And in our story today, it was the devil who whispered into the ear of Sapphira and Ananias, "Tell them you're giving it all. Tell them that you're giving everything." Peter says, "Why does Satan fill your heart?" Church, that's the reason I have to keep my heart focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I have to do that. Otherwise, I go straight to Satan and his lies. I go straight to my own selfish pride. Because what happens? Satan might have whispered in their ear, but the Holy Spirit of God whispered in Peter's ear and told them what he had done. Told him what they had done. So the Spirit revealed the source of the sin, Satan. And now the Spirit revealed the seriousness of the sin in verse 3. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's bad to tell a lie to each other, amen? Moms, how many times have you told your children, "Don't lie to me. It'll be much worse if you lie." I know sometimes the kids go, "How could it get any worse than what just happened?" It'll be much worse if you lie. It's bad to lie to each other. It's dumb to lie to a judge, amen, and commit perjury. But it is incredibly dangerous to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. And it's foolish because you can't get away with it. God knows everything. Man looks at the surface, but God looks at what? The heart. The Holy Spirit is God, and God knows everything. If we would simply start living as Christians, understanding that. God knows every secret thing in my heart. That just gave me a bad chill right there. The Holy Spirit was there when Ananias and Sapphira cooked up their plan. Then the Holy Spirit gave Peter the giftedness of spiritual knowledge of the event. Peter knew exactly what had happened, and Peter told them what had happened. And verse 3 and 4 make it abundantly clear. Look at verse 4 again. "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" There's heartbreak in those words from Peter. "You have not lied to God, but to men, but to God." In other words, this was not an unintentional error. This was not an accident. No, this was a husband and wife conspiring in a way to directly challenge the Holy Spirit of God. And what happens now? God cleans house. We've seen the deception. We've seen the direction of the pretense. Now let's look at the destruction and the pretense. Our third point today. The destruction of the pretense. Look, if you will, in verse 5. If you dare, say amen. If you dare, say amen. Amen. "Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." Ananias was stricken dead on the spot. He falls down, and the Bible says that the young men wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, this is going to seem inappropriate, but I have to say it, that's always been a little funny to me, that part right there. "And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." Why? I mean, Ananias, bang, dead. Like right here, bang, dead, roll out in the aisle. Husband and wife, or husband Ananias, the husband first. And then what happens? God has a ministry for everything. And so the dead hypocrite blanket wrapping committee jumps up, wraps them up, and takes them out. And church goes right on with the service. Can you imagine that? Strikes them dead. The blanket wrapping committee wraps up Ananias, hauls him out, and people go right on with their service, probably paying a little closer attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that preaches. Don't let other people and what they do affect how you do your ministry. Don't let other people's actions affect how you serve God. By the way, who would volunteer for that ministry? Pastor Devine, what I would like for you to do is form a team. Find me a ministry leader. We're going to call it the Roll Out in the Aisles Dead Person Blanket Wrapping Committee. And see who you can get for that. I want you to get somebody big like Dennis. Grab his father in there. His father looks in good shape. Rennell, you don't weigh as much as my suit, so you're out. I was sharing with them, Brother Rennell, but from the breakfast yesterday, I've never made a one-egg omelet in my life. Listen, guys, one of the sweetest men I know right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great man of God. So Ananias is dead, and then Sapphira comes wandering in 3 hours later. Now, did you ask yourself, why did she come in 3 hours later? Maybe she wanted to make a grand entrance. You know, Ananias is in there, and he's giving this money, and the church thinks that, you know, it's all that. And she wants to make a grand entrance so everybody can see her. You know, most churches have people like that. Amen? Ooh. They gave a lot to the church. Look at that. That's Sapphira. And bang, the same thing happens to her. Dead. Once again, blanket wrapping ministry, they're just coming back in the door. They see her drop and go, Holy Spirit's moving in this service today. Did you get what I just said? God is in movement in this church today. By the way, have you ever praised God for that? Have you ever praised God for cutting out a cancer? Have you ever praised God for that? Because that's what God does. Pray for that person. Pray for those people that don't serve God properly. Lift them up before the Lord. But give praise to God for recognizing what's going on. Amen? Okay, so same thing happens. Blanket wrapping ministry goes out. Which brings up the big question of the day. I want you to listen closely. I do not want you to raise your hands. I do not want you to amen. I don't want you to say an affirmation. Just listen to me. This is an important biblical question. Ananias and Sapphira, think about this in your mind. Were they Christians? You see, I believe they were. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, the reason is because of the judgment that we see here. Now, go with me here. We answer things how? Biblically, amen? We always answer things biblically. You see, the lost get their judgment at the great white throne of judgment. That's where the lost get their judgment. But there are three judgments for the redeemed of God. Three judgments. One is there's a judgment we receive as a sinner that comes at the cross of Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, all right, bear with me now. Jesus took our judgment for us as sinners, and we are judged as righteous when we're saved. Did you know that? When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, Miss Paulette, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, Miss Ruth Ann, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, Brother Cliff, you were judged, that was your first judgment, judged as righteous before the throne of God. The book of Romans says that not only that, but Christ in that judgment has ushered you into the throne room of God, presented you to God and all of His angels, and said, righteous, right before God the Father. Isn't that good stuff? So that's the first judgment for the redeemed of God. The second judgment for the redeemed of God is the Christian at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. It's when our good acts are judged and we receive or lose crowns based upon our good works or the blessings that we may have lost because of things that we did not complete that we were given to do. And the crowns are received. What do we do with those crowns, by the way? We lay those crowns at the feet of Jesus. And that's the second judgment. But the third judgment, we're also judged as sons and daughters of Almighty God in this life. Write this down in your margin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 7. Go and read that this afternoon. That's your homework. I'm going to check your notes next week. Just kidding. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 7 says that whom the Father loves, what? He chastens. Now, this is just me talking. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says that God is love. And based upon the inerrant word of God, I believe that God loved Ananias, God loved Sapphira, and they loved the Lord. I believe that. They just let themselves get in the way of this whole event. They committed the sin of pretending a devotion for Jesus Christ that they really did not have. And God brought them that third judgment. He chastened His sons and daughters. A severe judgment. And He did that as an example. Remember we said last week, does God, when Jesus came, did He heal all of the lame? No, He did not. He healed that lame man as an example that he has the power to heal whoever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. He is, after all, the Lord. And God sometimes does that with a believer, like he did with Ananias and Sapphira. He does that sometimes with a believer to save the believer from further sin in this life. Because that believer becomes an embarrassment for Almighty God. When God sees a believer living so much in sin, when God sees a believer doing so much that embarrasses the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and Almighty God Himself, God says, that's it. I'm bringing you home. I'm going to take care of you, keep you from harming yourself in my church. Well, Pastor Larry, I can't remember any of that happening. You know, I can't imagine that happening or me doing that. Well, I bet you have. I've seen it in this church. Have you ever gone to a birthday party and taken your child with you? Or seen a parent take their child to that birthday party and that child is so disobedient and so willful and so stubborn and won't mind and won't behave that the father says, that's it, we're going home. And God does that with His children here on this earth. That they become so pretentious, so hypocritical, so sinful, He says, that's it, I'm bringing you home. Does the father love the son any less? Does the father love the daughter any less? No, he still loves the child. But he brings them home. Why? Because they're not ruining their reputation. They're ruining the father's reputation. Friends, God wants His church pure. Look one more time at verse 11. If you dare, say amen. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. You think? If that happened right here, I imagine the rest of us would be on praying ground. Amen? Notice though in verse 14. Skip down to verse 14. We're going to get a little bit into next week's message. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now how amazing is that? When sin is severely judged like this, it doesn't mean that the church goes backward. It means that the problem has been addressed and the church can now move forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it means that the church goes forward. And just like we were talking about last week with the lame man, today's story is an example. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. How do I know that it was just an example? I'm so glad you asked me. It's because God doesn't destroy every city on earth that gives itself over to sodomy. Otherwise, San Francisco would be a smoking hole in the ground. But God is merciful. God is love and He's given us examples. God does not kill every person who challenges the Holy Spirit, or church attendance would be way down. You say, hang on, Pastor Larry, I'm not a pretender. Yes, we are. Amen. Let's just be honest with ourselves today, friends. Now, I've had some fun today. We've talked about a serious discussion. I told you guys going into today's message, it was going to be a serious discussion. Amen. But let's get serious, real serious here for a moment. Because we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. And we always read, if you would turn, please turn, this is why I told you to keep your Bibles open. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. If you have a paper Bible and you're there, please say amen. Amen. Reading verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You say, okay, Pastor Larry, I get it. We read that every month, don't we? That's the Lord's Supper. So what? Well, let's continue reading. Verses 27 through 30. If you're still there, say amen. Amen. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sleep is the biblical word for dead. You see, friends, Paul was warning the church in Corinth about taking the Lord's Supper in an irreverent way. So as we prepare today for the Lord's Supper, let's be all in for Jesus. Amen? Well, Pastor Larry, man, this has been... I'm afraid to take the Lord's Supper now. How do I take care of that? How do I address that? Listen, friends, during the invitation today, all you need to do is simply confess the sins in your life and ask God's forgiveness. That's all you have to do. And here's what I pray. I pray, Lord, forgive me of the sins in my life. Even those I have buried so deep in my heart, even I have forgotten them. Because I don't want to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. See, that's the whole goal, amen? Our goal is not to come to the Lord perfect. Our goal is not to come to the Lord not being hypocrites, because that's going to happen to all of us. Our purpose is to come before the Lord forgiven. Amen. Forgiven. I can't stress that enough. Each one of us has our own level of things that we've done that are inappropriate before the throne of God. Simply come before the throne forgiven. Living Hope Baptist Church, no perfect people allowed. Living Hope Baptist Church, not perfect, just forgiven. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Now, listen, friends. Come before the Lord like that today. But if you're here today, if you are watching on the internet, and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, there's no time like today. Who is this salvation open to? It's open to all. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Jesus said why in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Thomas had asked the Lord, well, how do we know the way? How do we know how to get to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we go before the throne. You've been so.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are worthy.